Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
Do you think the animals want you to eat them? What is the best way for us to treat them? Humans are animals, so here is a clue. Would you want anybody eating you?
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of justice, peace, freedom, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since January 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. We are very blessed that we have special guests in the studio for an in-studio interview, and that is Sherry Zitter and Forrest Otter. And Sherry and Forrest are celebrating their 18th vegan anniversary. They've been vegan for 18 years, so we'll be hearing about what they've learned being vegan for 18 years. And Sherry and Forrest joined us for an in-studio interview back in 2015. Yes, so this is very exciting that here we are 11 years later, and they're joining us again for an in-studio interview. Welcome, Sherry, and welcome, Forrest. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, we're really thrilled to be here again, Marlene. It's wonderful that your show has been going for so long and is so interesting and informational and supportive.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you're fascinating with all your veganic gardening and your berry bushes and all of that in your raw vegan cooking. It's just amazing. And your activism, your powerful vegan activism all these years, too. Thank you. So I'd like to start out hearing about the significance of 18, that this is your 18th vegan anniversary. Sherry.
Yes, I asked you if we could come on the show at 18 years because I am Jewish. I'm also Buddhist, but my heritage is Jewish. And 18 in Hebrew is chai, which means life. A lot of people remember from Fiddler on the Roof, l'chaim, to life, l'chaim. And so the number 18 is very significant. It's a number of celebration, it's a number of good fortune, and we feel very fortunate to have been vegan for 18 years and all that it has taught us. You know, I have chosen as my primary spiritual core to avoid eating animals and animal products, but my veganism is so much more than that. You know, it's my spirituality, it's my love of nature, you know, all those things.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Forrest?
I've been alongside Sherry as she does her activism, but most of mine is doing artwork and being close to nature and feeling very spiritual about the whole experience and loving helping educate people about veganism.
Yeah. We did, the year after we became vegan, we did have a vegan potluck wedding with our family, a few friends, but we have a big family, so it was mostly like 50 family members. And people really, you know, it was our wedding, and they researched recipes, and they brought vegan dishes, and we felt very, very loved and supported with that. You know, and over the years, our families have learned to not just accept our veganism, they don't, you know, we have a cousin who used to tease us a lot, oh, look at this great burger I'm eating, you know, and now they don't. They really honor it and respect it, but they also are careful to try to make dishes that we like to try to remember when they make vegetables not to put butter in it or something like that. You know, so they're being, I think we're opening their minds. And we do have one person in the family who can't kill lobsters anymore. He just feels too bad. So I feel like there are ways that we're influencing family members and community members.
It's
far as family tradition is this lobster party for many, many years.
That it started with my grandmother and from Sweden. And it's that family history stuff. It's very, very hard.
But with family, yeah, we try to be gentle with family and friends where they have old traditions. Although I do offer, whenever there's a group that's having a silent auction and I want to support them, whether it's the Friends of the Library or the Land Trust or, a vegan group or whatever, I always offer to veganize any old family recipe or favorite recipe people have. It's a way for people to transition, you know, and to understand that any recipe can be made vegan and taste pretty darn good.
Yeah, and Sherry has created a lot of recipes that are holiday food that
traditional Swedish Christmas,
meatballs.
Scallop potatoes and the meatballs, yeah.
Yep.
That's right. And those can be made vegan.
Yeah, and your Sims?
Oh, yes. Not just the Sims, but the noodle kugel. In my family, the Jewish tradition is a noodle pudding that has lots of sour cream and cottage cheese and all this, you know, dairy in it. And we've been able to veganize it. And I've also learned that it used to be that if I was going to a friend's house or a family member's house, I felt like I had to make this complex vegan dish that was the best thing they had ever tasted and, you know, that kind of thing. And it put a lot of pressure on me, even though sometimes it was fun. And I've learned that just something simple, like we'll bring the salad and we put apples and walnuts and fruit sweetened cranberries in it and a nice dressing. And people go, wow, this is really good. You know, so it can be simple food and still make an impact with non-vegans.
Thank you. Let's hear about some of those recipes, like the Swedish meatballs veganized.
Well, between Beyond Meat and Field Roast, you know, they have a lot of good, meatballs, sausages, you know, breakfast links, burgers, you know, things that you could start with. And then you can take the Swedish gravy recipe and just, you know, veganize that.
Yeah, that would be a vegetable broth instead of a beef broth.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And, you know, we can look up any recipes that people are interested in. My email is Sherry Zitter, Sherry Zitter, at iCloud.com. Sherry Zitter at iCloud.com. So anyone who wants to email me with specific recipes, we're very happy to send them. And we make wonderful fruit and nut bars that are 5 minutes in the food processor, and they are all kinds of flavors, like the walnut raisin one with a little bit of carob or chocolate powder in it. Tastes like brownies.
And cranberries.
And cranberries, that's right. And the one that I brought you today, Marlene, the apple pie spice,
yes, is
just like almonds and dates and cinnamon and nutmeg, you know, in the food processor. So they're raw and they're simple and they're whole foods and delicious.
You see this as a paradigm shift into a vegan world, basically back to the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where the lion lies down with the lamb and we don't need anybody to be a predator, human or otherwise. That's right. That's where we're heading.
I've just been reading a book by Stephen Lee August, Vegans Versus the Verses, a Bible handbook for the vegan activist. And it is so wonderful, describing all the things, starting from the Garden of Eden, of all fruits, vegetables, and herbs, and seeds, chia seeds, that kind of thing.
Yes, thank you. That's helpful to hear. And again, coming back to the grassroots activism.
It also takes people who are really brave, like the young woman who in Los Angeles who was a senior in high school and who fought the city of Los Angeles so that there could be soy milk in the schools without a doctor's note. And with the help of PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, she won.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the whole city of Los Angeles offers non-dairy milk. So it's a lot of different ways to be effective activists. We belong to the Native Plant Trust in Framingham, Massachusetts, and their recent newsletter came out with the back page was an article about ban the beef, you know, and they talked about how important it was for the planet. And so I wrote them an email. I wrote an email to the editorial board thanking them for their courage and saying, you know, I'm vegan and I understand what it took for you to do that. And we appreciate it because they need to hear from people who are supporters as well as people who are going to say, oh, come on. So that kind of activism, I've learned to widen my lens of activism.
In my experience, it seems that most people are unaware that most beef is, quote unquote, spent dairy cows. And I've noticed that if someone mentions, oh, they're not consuming dairy because of allergies, it's like, oh, okay, it's all accepted. But as soon as you say it's because of being vegan, it's like, oh. You know, so it's very important to understand the misogyny, oppression, violence, exploitation, slavery, and discrimination in the dairy industry.
Absolutely.
Yes.
for us as ethical and spiritual vegans, we don't want to use another animal as a commodity. We don't want to use another human being as a commodity.
We're listening to Sherry Zitter, who's joining us in the studio with her wife, Forrest Otter, local vegans. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Forrest and Sherry. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. As we continue our conversation with Forrest Otter and Sherry Zitter, as we discuss the perils of a non-vegan world and the beautiful rise of authentic veganism, animal liberation. Here's Sherry.
And that's making a huge impact for animals and trees and plant life and the whole, you know, our whole Mother Gaia.
We just got to keep staying strong because the message is nonviolence.
That's right.
And it's the golden rule. And I believe in the boomerang effect. So when we see all the betrayal and the deception and the violence and the craziness of trillions of dollars going into weapons of wars and all that, to me it's very obvious it's the boomerang effect of a non-vegan world. If we're going to have weapons of fishing poles and guns and blades and slaughterhouses, then all that is going to come back to humanity in one way or another, sooner or later. That's why I believe the vegan evolution revolution is the key to peace on earth.
Absolutely. And this was the main point of Will Tuttle's book, The World Peace Diet, you know, that when people consume the animals' fear and anger and anxiety and stuff, you know, when they're getting slaughtered, we become a lot more aggressive and assaultive. And studies have been done in prisons where one part of the prison, they feed them vegan food for a month, and there are less fights, there's less aggression. You know, it's a very, very clear connection.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me back to the spirituality in your book, Vegan Versus.
Yeah. We created a vegan spirituality group when we lived back in Maynard, you know, in the Concord Maynard area, and we would meet once a month with 8 or 10 spiritual vegans, and we really all supported each other, you know, in our struggles with family and community and work. Yeah, that makes me remember that across the street from us is a big field that is owned by the Mass Department of Fish and Wildlife. Beyond that, there's a lot of protected woods, and we hate hearing the gunshots. We hate seeing the fish struggling, and we're always sending prayers to the fish to avoid that hook. You know, we'll feed you over here, you know, or when we hear the gunshots, we say, go, go, geese, keep going. I feel like veganism is so interconnected with loving Gaia as a living organism and how we treat her and everybody upon her, you know, including the trees and the plants. You know, yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. We're recording this a week early. And, you know, he always said that you just need one candle to dispel the darkness. And so that's what vegans do. We are dispelling the darkness of this commodification with our vegan spirituality and ethics and sanity.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And his quote, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Absolutely. Yes. I would love it if any of our listeners out there are from the greater Worcester area and are vegan. I am part of Grassroots Central Mass, which is a wonderful progressive organization around the Central Mass area, north, south, east, west of Worcester, that does a lot of wonderful social justice work. But I am part of the climate committee that offers environmental events, and I am currently the chair of the committee, but I am the only vegan. And if any of you would like to join and be part of that committee, we do a lot on Zoom. We would love to have you. Please email me at sherryzitter@icloud.com.
For our listeners here, I'd like to interject a commentary. Within my interview with Sherry and Forrest, I shared a personal experience. And in relaying this experience to Sherry and Forrest, I'm using abolitionist language. So in the vegan community, that is well understood. But I really would like to make that known. So I will be using abolitionist language, and that's with the understanding that when the Abolition Amendment is ratified, so the Abolition Amendment is a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and when that is ratified, our fellow animals will no longer be living under property status. And so that explains the use of my abolitionist language. Again, the views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Now back to my conversation with Forrest and Sherry. I attended a rewilding workshop that was held at a local library. I was the only vegan, and somehow, I don't know how we got on this topic in this group presentation, but I had shared the fact that in Massachusetts, twice a week, there's the quote-unquote livestock auctions. And so all the local homesteaders bring in all their exploited females and males of the different species, and it's just so awful and saddening. The one that I witnessed was the dairy calves. And so all the dairies, within the first 48 hours of birth, they obviously abduct. It's a thing of child abduction and infanticide. For the bull calves, and then for the young heifers, it's trafficking, like child trafficking, then rape and murder. And so these calves are all separated from their mother within the first 48 hours of birth, and the truck comes once a week. So if the calf is, say the truck comes on Wednesdays, if the calf is born on a Tuesday, the calf goes off into the auction truck on that Wednesday. And if the calf is born on Thursday, then that calf stays on the dairy farm until the following Wednesday. Of course, not allowed to drink his or her mother's breast milk, because humans refuse to get weaned and want to drink the breast milk and eat the cheese and the yogurt and the ice cream and the sour cream and the cottage cheese and all that.
Wait, all so the breast excretions.
Yeah. Some of them are killed immediately, and others are raised for 1 or 2 years or a few months for quote-unquote veal. And the response from the group was, well, don't go to the auctions, don't look at it.
Ah, if that had been true of all the Quakers who went to the auction blocks and the plantations in the 1800s, we would still have slavery today. We have to confront injustice and evil and look it in the face and speak truth to power. We must, because otherwise things never change.
And there's such double standards and duplicity in your brain when you're, just because you're not looking. I mean, it's like, how many people cannot look at suffering around us today, that they're really, and I have no idea what world they're in, that they don't see suffering out there.
Bob Dylan. How many times can a man turn his head pretending he just doesn't see? You know, that's exactly what they're asking you to do, is just to turn, you know, to put blinders on. And we are not willing to do that as ethical vegans. We cannot put blinders on. We need to protect our hearts. We can't constantly be bombarded with all of the cruelty, or it'll break us. I mean, we each have our own level and balance, but we need to know what's happening, and we need to look it in the face, and we need to speak up, because that's how things change.
This song recording is from Sherry performing live in the studio back in 2015.
Each animal is special, just like you and me. They want to live long and safe and free. The clack, the cows, pigs and chicks, the goats and rats and mice, they trust your heart because you'll treat them all nice. You know animals don't want us to eat them, so what is the best way for us to treat them? Humans are animals, so here is a clue. You treat them the way you like people treating you.
I also want to mention the Vegan Metro West Network. When we used to live in Maynard near Concord, Mass, between Worcester and Boston, the year after we became vegan, Victoria Mangus, who's a fabulous vegan activist, her email is veganvictoria And she organized this Vegan Metro West network, which has really grown to hundreds of members, and they have all kinds of events. They have book clubs that we used to go to when we lived in that area that taught us an awful lot, you know, to be able to spread the word and educate other people. They do tabling at like animal adoption events, you know, places where animal lovers go who haven't made the connection yet about veganism, and they table at the Earth Day Festival and farmers markets. Yeah. In fact, we had a blender bike for a while manufactured by a group called Rock the Bike. I don't know if we talked about this 10 years ago.
We did. Yep, blending.
And so it's an attachment on the back of the bicycle. So we had the bicycle on a stand. We would go to farmers markets, and we had the blender on the back of the bike, and we brought like chopped kale and chopped apples and chopped bananas and, you know, a jug of water, and kids would come by and we'd have the kids make the smoothie and then sit on the bike and bicycle. And of course, you know, it's not...
They wanted their own juice too.
That's right. It's not like electricity, so it never got smooth. It was pretty chunky. But they would be drinking it with enthusiasm, and the parents would say, I can never get him to eat kale. Like, yeah, but they made this themselves. And so it was really a way to introduce, and we had handouts, you know, of vegan protein, vegan high protein vegetables, you know, like Jerusalem artichoke is the highest protein vegetable, and quinoa is the highest protein cedar grain, so that, you know, parents could know that they were feeding their kids. You know, everybody who's non-vegan worries about the protein. It was really fun.
That is looking at creativity being so important to keep our hope up, our excitement about looking within and thinking of new ways to do things.
Forrest, I'd like to hear about your chicken outfit that you wore at the Earth Day celebration in Concord, Massachusetts, and that was your mother's outfit.
It was. She got a little wild when she got very old. She had a chicken purse to go with that. But yes, I got to wear the outfit, and I just thought it was funny because Musketaquid is in Concord, Mass, with all the history and the wildlife and the Concord River and all this. And we were along the river, and I said, hey, chickens have a home too. They're wild. They, you know, got brought all the way from their country. All animals, all life need support.
Yes, will you explain that about the chickens, where they came from?
Southeast Asia. Yeah, they were wild in the forests of Southeast Asia, and we have domesticated them just like we have domesticated wild bovine. We've domesticated wild pigs. You know, they all had their own communities, their own lives in the woods, and they did just fine without us, and they deserve to be wild again.
Yeah, yes. That the chickens was the thing that really got me with Will Tuttle's thing of convincing me of like, yeah, they're not even supposed to be here.
That's right.
They couldn't survive in the winter. I mean, they're a tropical bird.
And that they were never designed to ovulate 200 to 300 times a year.
Absolutely. Yes.
It shortens their lifespan.
Them weak. They leave the lights on to keep them thinking it's daylight. I mean, they do all sorts of horrible torture to get them to...
And for those who might not understand that, that's eggs.
Yeah.
It's the chicken's ovulation cycle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and the same with cows that are forced to impregnate so much more frequently because non-vegans want their milk. And one of the points that, Forrest, that you make is that a lot of non-vegans focus on wild animals. Oh, they're so beautiful. I want to save the wolves. I want to save the whales. And they don't make the connection that farmed animals are just as precious and just as smart and just as beautiful. And I think that the chicken outfit was a way to really draw attention to, you know, these chickens are beings, and they deserve a good, free life.
Beautiful. And again, thank you very much for your consistent, indefatigable vegan activism, grassroots level, all these years, 18 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene. We love your show, and we look forward to it all the time.
We do.
So I also want to just emphasize, as we're talking about community support and how important it is for vegans, I want to really stress how important this Vegan Nation program has been for us and continues to be for us. This is a big part of our support community. We love hearing from Marlene, the inspiration of all the guests that come onto this show, and it would be much harder to do the work we do without this community support every week. Thanks, Marlene.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Forrest. Sherry, could you sing some more, please?
Aww. Shall I sing my animal blessing hymn?
Yes.
Okay, this is the song that we would use to start out our vegan spirituality group each time. To all the animals, great and small, we hear your voice, we feel your call. We all are one in destiny. Till all are safe, none shall be free. To all the animals caged and wild, you're each a mother's beloved child. We vow to honor your sacred worth in every way while on this earth, in every way while on this earth.
Sherry Zitter, performing live Animal Blessing Hymn in the studios at WCUW, Main Street, Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah. Thanks so much for asking, Marlene. That's my favorite of the vegan songs I've written.
It's beautiful. And Forrest, thank you, and for your artwork. So to see that, again, what is your Instagram handle?
Sammy J. Zitter, SamiJZitter.
Thank you. Thank you, Forrest. Thank you, Sherry. And much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, Worcester, Massachusetts. At the start of the show, we heard Sherry singing here live in the studio, and we heard one verse of her children's song, Do You Think? Of course, we just heard her beautiful song, The Animal Blessing Hymn. We're listening to the piano music of Will Tuttle. This is the turkey song. Earlier, we heard the chicken song. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene, Massachusetts, wishing you a lovely, joyous, peaceful day.